This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Introducing the two-way V4, where groundbreaking fuel cell technology meets fresh foam cushioning for the ultimate performance. With fuel cell, each step feels explosive, delivering unparalleled energy return. Paired with fresh foam, experience maximum comfort throughout the game. Its lightweight textile upper offers support and breathability without sacrificing agility. Whether you're hitting the clutch shot or locking down the opposition, the two-way V4 gives you the tools to play at a high level. Learn more and purchase the two-way for yourself at newbalance.com.
Welcome to the Power Cat Podcast, the original K-State sports show. Now let's go to the rolling Flint Hills, home of the Cats and Dogs studio. Here's your host, Tim Fitzgerald.
Welcome to another edition of the Power Cat Podcast. Fitz, Zach, and Gills back at our stations, ready to do this thing. I'm hoping we have some dog action behind Zach today. They're currently laying behind me. But that couch is pretty yummy to them. How you doing, Zach?
Doing good. That's a new intro.
I know. I probably did the new logo on it.
It's fancy with the guitar and the cymbal.
That's the same music, Zach.
It's different, though.
A different bed, you think?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's definitely different. I promise.
Oh, it's the old music. No?
I don't know if it's old.
I don't know.
It's different.
Okay.
And I like it.
Okay, good. Gills, how you doing there in your luxurious Aggieville studio?
I'm doing good with my luxurious microphone.
New mic. Everyone, he has a new mic. The boss finally spent a buck on him. Well, I spent a buck, but not much more than that on a mic that stunk.
You got what you paid for, yeah.
Yeah. If anyone needs a really mediocre, oversized mic meant for gaming, not this, let me know. You can have this one. Is it still here? Or did you take it? I don't know. I don't know where it's at, but you can have it. We're sponsored by The Fridge Wholesale Liquor. Make sure you stop into The Fridge every time you're in town. Please tell them you heard about The Fridge on the Power Cat Podcast, even if that's a lie. Lie to them. Say you heard here first, even though you've been going there many times. That's where I'm at with this. Just lie to everyone. Let's get rolling with your questions from Wabash Station. Once again, everyone gets to watch or listen to this podcast. Only our VIP, our subscribers at GoPowerCat, get to ask the questions. And oh yeah, we have started new recruiting podcasts that are VIP only. There's some things we talk about in recruiting, and we keep it behind our paywall for reasons. And we hope our subscribers enjoy that. If you'd like to join the party at GoPowerCat, we're currently 60% off a subscription for GoPowerCat.com across 24/7 sports network. With the opening of the transfer portal, we are on sale to celebrate, hopefully, K-State not losing anyone of substance. Jonathan Banks went in today.
Javon.
John, who's Jonathan Banks? Is this someone?
Yeah, I mean, it sounds familiar enough.
This is the way I am now. All names are mushed together in a mushed brain. Yeah, he went in the portal this morning as we record this on Wednesday.
There was a Jonathan Banks at Mississippi State, which is funny because Javon Banks did go to Mississippi State, but that is the only Jonathan Banks I have acquired.
Okay. I am losing my mind, which isn't a great loss. Let's get on with your questions, Wabash Station. Zach, take it away.
From Contra Cat, can we get a Fitz health update? And from Old School, when will Life of Fitz return?
A Fitz you what update?
A health update.
Oh, a health.
They want to hear about you.
I'm still here. I'm not dead yet. One of my favorite lines from Monty Python and the Holy Grail. Oh, I'm not dead yet. I'm doing fine. I got the news about Greg Sharp really rocked me. I mean, that's a longtime friend of mine. And if you've missed that, he's been diagnosed stage 4 pancreatic cancer. That really, those things hit me harder than anything going on with my own health, to be real honest. My original diagnosis was 6 years to live. That was 6 years ago. I'm I'm still here, as I mentioned. And we're going to celebrate in Las Vegas this summer with some fraternity brothers and their wives. Two of the fraternity brothers don't have their prostates either, because three of us in the same age group all had advanced prostate cancer in our early 50s.
Sounds like a commercial. Were you in the Pike House in the early 1980s? Call us the law firm of...
Oh, man. I
don't know.
It you know what? We might find a link between excessive drinking and prostate cancer at some point, because we all fit that. Anyhow, there'll be 10 of us in Vegas and two prostates. But I'm doing great. I'm doing fantastic. I sleep a lot and I pee a lot. And sometimes at times I don't want to do either one. But that's the way we roll nowadays. Appreciate that. What was the other? Oh, Life of Fitz. Probably around May. I haven't really thought about it, to be honest. I need a little recouping time, to be blunt. I barely made it through basketball season. I was really struggling by the end with my energy levels. And it's not like mental lack of focus energy. I can do my daily deliveries every day, but the brain's there. It's just the body is just all worn out. Well, the brain's not fully there, but body's worn out. But I'll get to Life of Fitz. I'm kind of wrestling with if we want to do it in this format on video or stick with the phone only. Let me know in the comments or on Wabash what you think, if the Life of Fitz podcast belongs with visuals or not. I talk to all kinds of people on that. We just have conversations, and it might change the conversation if we're actually looking at each other. They may not like me.
Can talk about how ugly Fitz is.
Yes, that could be a big topic.
Could be. Next. Oh, are you still going?
Nope.
Okay. I'm done. Next question's from Go Uppercat. Please recap Portal Chaos Tuesday, and he put that in quotations and capitalized it. And can you share any insights you have on any pending movements?
Well, K-State seems pretty unfazed at this point.
There was minimal chaos, at all.
And honestly, I'd ask, and they felt good about everything. They knew that some people would. I mean, let's be honest, Banks isn't surprising. He wants to play defensive end. He tried to do it in the spring. You know what he found out? He was buried on the defensive end depth chart because there's so many good young defensive ends. So this doesn't surprise me, but he was going to play some nose tackle. So I think that will be addressed. I just saw TCU's all Big 12 sophomore defensive tackle nose guard went into the portal. That's a blow for the Frogs. But, you know, the thing you also got to keep in mind is there's only so much money in an NIL budget. And so it's almost acting like a salary cap on who you can and can't afford. That's crazy what we've come to. But the other side of that is, because of the NIL, Kansas State, whether it's basketball, football, volleyball, anything, now can maybe get some players that they weren't going to get because they can afford it. They can kind of target their money. So we'll see what develops. It was quiet. And I think Tuesday was more quiet than we expected, but also institutions have 48 hours to put names in the portal. So there might have been some holding back to try to, you know, you basically have a 48-hour cooling off period where the institution can choose to try to entice you to stay, or just they put it off to put them all in at once. So we'll see. It's been fairly quiet, but
I mean, it's Max Marsh and Javon Banks, right?
Yeah, that's all I know about.
Yeah.
As we sit here today, that's all I know
right.
about. Not Ryan Gilbert. Damn it.
I mean, Max Marsh was completely unsurprising to me, because I think by that last practice, it seemed like he was the fourth quarterback that was there.
And
I mean,
what we could see looked legit, too.
Yeah.
I mean, he'll have to play at a lower level, no doubt.
If he wants to play quarterback, I think he can play safety or, you know, whatever he wants a lot of places. You know, but I think he probably wants to be a quarterback.
Yeah, the fact that he didn't switch back after the bowl game tells me he wants to give it a crack. And he saw this as an opportunity maybe to be the backup here. It didn't pan out. So now he's going to move on to somewhere else. I hope he finds some place where he can play. That'd be really a cool story.
I just think it's crazy the number of quarterbacks K-State has recruited from the state of Colorado in the last five seasons.
It's been pretty good for K-State.
Pretty well. It's been a good source. Not necessarily. They may not necessarily make the field.
Let's hope but the one currently does pan out.
That one from Colorado. Yes. But only after the one from Kansas pans out.
Very much so.
Yeah. Gills, anything?
I agree.
You look good, though. You're good. You look good, though.
I always look good.
All right. We'll get you involved here with some basketball questions. Okay. From Came to Elevate, there were three Big 12 basketball coaches that were courted in the last week to take other jobs. What makes Big 12 coaches attractive targets for other schools?
Skills.
Well, they can win. They can prove they can win in the hardest conference in America, right? Now, obviously, the NCAA tournament results this year maybe don't back that up, but I think there's so much respect for just everything that goes on in the Big 12 beyond, you know, the coaches. You got the fans, support, all that stuff, NIL. There's so much respect for it. And so if you prove that you can do something in the Big 12, you know, I think that that's more than enough proof to say that you can go do something somewhere else.
Plus, I'll be honest here. I think all three coaches in question here were courted by schools that could pay more than the Big 12 institution could. And I think Jerome Tang with Arkansas was probably the lowest of the threshold. It wasn't a substantial race. Scott Drew turned down a lot of money to stay at home in Baylor. And, you know, you feel good. Kentucky got one of their own. So that's the only reason that took place, I really believe.
I think BYU could have paid Mark Pope to stay, but also Kentucky's his alma mater. And I feel like BYU is like, we can find anybody who wants to be here.
I'm not familiar with the guy they hired, but to hire a top NBA assistant.
Yeah. I mean,
and BYU's got the money to keep people.
Right. So, you know, it's unsurprising to me that other schools from other conferences are interested in coaches from the Big 12. You know, like you mentioned, Jerome Tang had a little lower threshold of trying to beat K-State in a money race, so to speak. But it worked out in the long run for the Wildcats, and you know, everybody seems happy and everything's cooled off finally from the SMU job opening up.
That was just weird.
Incredible.
It's interesting, so though. Like Mark Pope, I guess, from our understanding, Kentucky is that dream job for him.
Yeah.
Obviously. But I know Jerome Tang didn't play college basketball, but it doesn't seem like Baylor's his dream job. I know fan support. He just loves it here in Manhattan. It almost feels like I know we had this talk last week and on the discussion boards on here, right? Would Jerome Tang go to Baylor? Who knows? But it's not like 100% lock. Like just because that's his former school where he won a national title does not mean he's going straight back there. That's not necessarily his dream job.
Yeah, but I think Drew staying really stabilizes, a couple coaches, both Tech and K-State. They're not going to have that lingering around, and I think that's really important. Yeah, I think this was good for the Big 12. And let's be honest, the only reason Mark Pope was in that is because he's a former player and, you know, a known player. I want to compliment Kentucky Athletics. You remember when K-State hired Chris Klieman, and there was a lot of pushback about hiring Gene's friend, about hiring a guy from D2, even though it was FCS, not D2. A lot of pushback on hiring that dude. But K-State did a marvelous job of marketing Chris Klieman once he was hired, letting fans get to know him, showing his arrival, doing fun stuff, and fans warmed to him quickly. Now, they already knew Mark Pope at Kentucky, but this was not a popular hire with a lot of people at Kentucky because they see themselves as only hiring the very best of the best. And Mark Pope didn't have a particularly great year at BYU. They made it to the tournament, but they lost the first round. But then they started marketing him, you know, to the things that would connect with Kentucky, like spelling out the Cats and wearing the old uniform. I thought they did a marvelous job. And they packed Rupp Arena for his announcement.
It looked, if there was any discontent with the hire,
it's gone.
Show people that arena, and everybody looked pretty happy inside there. So they did.
Congratulations to them. They did a great job because they were headed for what K-State had on their hands with the Bruce Weber hire. A group of fans who weren't on board, let their thoughts be known outside of the press conference. It wasn't real good look for K-State, but honestly, some people just never quite warmed to Bruce Weber because it got off to a bad start. They did a great job with Pope. They really did.
Which college basketball pundit do you think the Kentucky fans would have wanted as their head coach? That is a Doug Gottlieb reference.
Oh, yes, I'm sure Doug Gottlieb tried to get the job. I think they really wanted Coach Rupp back. Just, you know, weekend at Bernie's his ass, set him on the bench, maybe gone by now. But yeah, just let someone, I don't know. I'm just talking now.
Next question is from Itame Bibi. Give us your way too early grade for Jerome Tang's strategy and activities in the transfer portal so far.
Gills?
Strategy and activities. I don't know. I mean, those are like, you can do all you want to try to get a guy. You can bring a guy to come visit and go after guys as much as you want. Excuse me. But at the end of the day, it is on those players to make that decision, right? So I think getting Doug McDaniel and CJ Jones is fine for a case that is right now. Obviously, you need to start hitting these bigs and get some center, some forwards onto your roster. But to evaluate what they've gotten out of it from now, I think certainly it could have been better. But I would anticipate Doug McDaniel having a good chance to start. And I think CJ Jones brings some good things to the table as well. So obviously it could be a lot better, guys. Let's not sugarcoat it. I mean, it could be a lot better, but at the same time, could be a lot worse as well. You know, I know two off seasons ago when Drum Tank first took over, right? And it took him forever to get a single person. We're all like, what the heck's going on here? And so it could be a lot worse. And I get that you need to bring in some bigs, but I think the strategy's been fine. They're going after these big name guys. Omar Ballo committed to Indiana and got a bag for NIL, but K-State still, you know, tentatively had a visit lined up with him, right? So, I mean, they're going after the best of the best, and you're not going to get every single one of those guys. But so in terms of strategy, by all means, they've been fine there. They maybe just haven't closed some of those deals. But, I mean, at the end of the day, you're not going to close every single deal. You can't get everybody you want. So I think they've done fine. It could have been better, could be worse. So here we are. There's no point in dwelling, I guess, now at this point. April 18th is the date this podcast is going to go up, right? Like, if you're Drum Tang and the staff, you can't worry about the guys you missed. You know, you've got to talk to those guys that are still out there. And, hey, what can we do to bring you to Manhattan? If you've already been to Manhattan on a visit, okay, what else do you need to see? Is that NIL? Is that a promise here? Is that, you know, what do we need to do to get you to commit to Kansas State? So to this point now, they've done a good job. Not great, but they've done good.
NIL is more active, more present, more visible in the basketball space and football. Because we know that his asking price is $1.2 million of NIL. K-State wasn't going to do that. They just don't have that budget. I don't think Indiana probably should have done it. And we saw what Kansas did. Hunter Dickinson was a great player for $1 million, but it also meant they got fewer other players. And they ran out of players. They really struggled with that. So I think K-State is doing a good job of understanding its budget, what they can afford, what they need to do. You know, a crystal ball announcement was used against them. It turned out to be completely false. And this appears to be the new thing going on, is coaches are leaking false information to people. And it gets through the coaching community and it gets posted because, you know, it's a lock. Coach said this and pass it to my coach. It's the crystal ball has kind of turned into a chess piece in the recruiting process, I guess. I don't know. But I actually like what they're doing. And they're putting their hats in early on people, coming back and evaluating. And the biggest shortcoming, we've talked about it many times, they had from the NIL last year was failing to get that true playmaking point guard, an experienced one. And they did it. The first thing they did is they solved that with McDaniel. They also wanted a shooter, an athlete, you know, honestly, someone that replaced Cam Carter. And they did it. I'm going to forever be confused by having CJ and RJ Jones on the same team, but I'll have to sort that out in my mind. What are the chances?
Those post-game talks are going to be phenomenal. You're going to have to redo 10 of them.
Oh, my gosh.
You might say they even play for Louisville.
Maybe Google's going to start calling RJ Popeye Jones again, like what happened earlier in the year.
Maybe we got to come up with a nickname for both of them. So you don't have,
Google was on to something with that.
Yeah. Mm. Maybe call RJ Popeye.
Pop-Tart?
Yeah. I almost said Pop-Tart. Popeye.
Pop-Tart's not a bad nickname.
Pop-Tart Jones.
Because I'm hot and tasty. A little bit gooey.
I'm going to give my grade here.
Okay,
I'll give a grade. B minus.
That's what I'm thinking, too.
Because if they got a big guy, they're definitely A minus to A. I mean, when you go and you strike quickly and you get a power five guard that averages 16 points a game last season, I mean, what's not to like about that? Yeah. At least on paper, at least you have a proven player. And I can't say K-State did that the last 2 years in the transfer portal. I want to say that's a first for Jerome Tang, and I think that's a big win.
Coloma was kind of proven.
Yeah.
But how early? Yeah. He was, what I mean is just immediate national championship game happens, same week. You got a power five guy who averages 16 points a game. I mean, being able to strike quick, big props to Tang on that one. But now it kind of gets into that lull of, hey, we missed out on a couple big guys we really wanted. Now what's left? You know, we can be patient. We can sit around, wait, see if anything else happens in the portal. But, you know, those main pieces that you really wanted are gone, and you kind of got to find the value as to what remains. But I think, you know, getting that first one with McDaniel was huge.
Yeah. I like what they're doing. You're right. Yeah. The big is the next piece. You better get that wrapped up. They have five. It looks like, from what we're seeing, Kaluma will be back. There was a report of that. And you just don't know where these reports are coming. It could be someone just shooting the
report.
Yeah. Shooting.
We still feel good about we have like probably 60-40 in favor of Kaluma coming back. Yeah. So, but I will say
his choices with the NBA, and is he ready for the NBA? No, he's not. I can see that he might be at some point, but he's just too inconsistent.
Yeah. I will say that K-State staff is doing a good job of using its current roster, and they've done this for years, right? Like Marquise Noel was a recruiter. He was basically like part of the staff getting guys to come to K-State. You go back to last year, I know Arthur Kaluma talked about how Naquan Tomlin played a part. I think they worked out for the Celtics when they were going through some draft stuff, and they got to connect. And obviously Tomlin doesn't work out with everything that happened with him, but like, you know, Tomlin played a part in getting Arthur Kaluma here. You know, you've got Buddy Rich went to the same high school as CJ Jones. So they, you know, all these connections that are there, the staff is taking advantage of stuff like that. And so I know people may be upset that Rodney Perry is not getting guys from Link Academy, his AAU ties. And I get that. That's a valid frustration, but you got to remember that Perry was maybe more brought for his X's and O's and his schematics that he can bring to the table. Those connections that he's got on the AAU circuit can certainly help, but you know, K-State's using everything to its advantage with the connections and relationships that they've had, whether that's a player, a coach, whatever that may be. They're getting their, you know, their players know people. And so if you get somebody that's a friend, or I know that's maybe why Mark Mitchell was initially tied to K-State, right, with Taj Manning, you know, these things do matter. And so K-State, to their credit, is using that to their advantage.
Well said, GJ.
GJ.
It gills J.
Oh, everything.
RJ's already taken. Yeah.
Right.
Last question of the first half from Donnie Cat 97. Welcome. With three roster spots left, what positions is K-State filling next? Also, does this lean towards Arthur Kaluma staying?
Yes. Big, and not quite as big. I think they're looking at for two posts and a power forward. Gills, that about right?
Yeah.
They're looking for bigs.
With Kaluma, you know, the initial pitch to get him to Manhattan last season is not going to change. You know, minutes aren't going to be promised, all that stuff. And so I don't think that, you know, some people have been concerned with maybe K-State going after the players that are maybe like Kaluma, right? I don't think that says one way or another, oh, Kaluma's staying or Kaluma's gone. You know, he's good. He knows that if he wants to come back, he's going to have to fight and compete for those minutes. But yeah, I think you got to go big. I mean, maybe if you see some wings out there that you like, and that's maybe the frustrating part, or if you're a player out there that's available and you want to come to K-State, you know, it's, well, there's just not, K-State can't take any more of those players, maybe one more. And I know that you said three, right? But that's assuming that Glover and Gasan and Kaluma, all three of those guys are back. So if one of those does not, you know, we haven't gotten official word from any of them. So maybe it's four, maybe it's five, it could be three. But I think the odds of all three of those guys coming back are pretty good right now, as from our understanding. But we'll see if that number grows. But I mean, yeah, you just have to assume they're going to hit those bigs heavy, because you know that's what you need on your roster for next year. You need to get some guys that are, you know, I would like to bring in a guy like Jarrell Colbert that maybe you have the thoughts of redshirting and developing him with long-term potential. I'm totally okay with that, but you know, give, you know, one or maybe two guys, but you're going to have to get somebody that's got, I don't want to say power five experience, but you know, starting experience somewhere, who's can, you know, I'm not going to say they have to average a double-double or anything like that, but you need somebody that can come in and start, right? You need right. that from the portal 100%. So take a flyer on a guy or two, sure, but you need to get somebody that can start, because you need a starting, unless they have some plans for Gasson to play the five or Taj Manning to really blossom throughout this past offseason, you're going to need a guy that is pretty much like Will McNair to come in. And I know Colbert kind of took over that starting job in the latter half of the season, but get a guy like Will McNair who is going to be a starter for maybe 1 year. And then next offseason, you try to get some of those guys, or the guys that you get that are like Colbert, like I mentioned, to develop into your system so that maybe next year you can get that. But I think right now, maybe the best plan might just be have a plug for 1 year guy and see what you can do. But I know Bob Miller is coming off of a visit. He's got a lot of potential, a lot of upside to him. Could he be capable of starting next year for Kansas State? Sure, yes. And I'm not putting that past him. I think he could do that, but I think you're maybe getting a guy like Miller for his longevity, what he can do in the potential in him, rather than what you saw at Florida State from him, if that makes sense. So we'll see what they do. You got to go at least two, three bigs, depending on the statuses of guys that come back. But you know, who knows? Maybe they go after one more wing, but you're going to assume bigs are what they're after.
Yeah, I would love to have a very pure shooter. I mean, CJ Jones is, according to his numbers, an upgrade from Cam shooting the three. I didn't realize Cam fell to almost 30% last year.
How can you not believe that?
Did you watch?
That was harsh.
Less than a third of his shots were makes, and that's awful. RJ's at 37, so that is an improvement. I'll say this, in watching his highlights, he's more apt to shoot a deep three than Cam was. Cam was pretty much in my toes on the line type of guy, which, you know, limits your options. But I would like to see a guy that, you know, one of those dead eyes. Kansas State ran into one from Cincinnati that got hot and hit a huge deep three to win a game. You kind of need that weapon. Marquise Noel was that in the past. They didn't really have that. I'd like to really find someone that can absolutely light it up from three.
You look at, real quick before we go to break, you look at Doug McDaniel at Michigan, okay? I've talked about this on here. He's excited to maybe be a point guard and facilitate for others, right? Because at Michigan, all he was asked to do was score. On the flip side of that, I'm hearing that CJ Jones is excited to come to Kansas State so that he can score more, because at UIC, Jones was asked to, I don't want to say asked to not score, but you know, I don't know how much the guards, there was a lot of facilitating there. And we saw that on his highlight tape and stuff, that he's got good vision. He can facilitate, but Jones is now excited to score more. McDaniel is excited to facilitate more. You know, these guys that, you know, people, you are entering the transfer portal for a reason. Sometimes that's a good reason. Sometimes that's a bad reason. But I think Tang is going to let these guys come in and embrace some newer roles in Manhattan when speaking of McDaniel and Jones.
Very good. That's it for the first half of the Power Cat podcast, this week's edition. We'll be back right after this break as you hear about our sponsor, Fridge Wholesale Liquor.
We'll be right back after these messages from our sponsors.
Please visit the Fridge Wholesale Liquor, located at the corner of Claflin and Westport Road in Manhattan, Kansas.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome back to the show. Let's return to the Cats and Dogs studio.
Zach, I didn't do the break. I didn't update the break.
Make sure you use the cymbal and guitar riff bed.
Man.
Boomer.
I'm a mess. I have the memory of, can't remember what that would be. That just says it all. Welcome back to the Firecat Podcast. We are sponsored by Fridge Wholesale Liquor. Make sure you check out the fridge whenever you're in town. Oh, my Siri just woke up. Siri, no. Really? No. Go away, Siri. Siri, go away. I've got it coming from all directions.
And now it's...
I can't hear a single thing. Is
we are Siri leaving that in.
Oh, yeah, I can't hear it. Did that not go across?
I didn't hear... No.
Oh, that's funny.
I'm sure that's on the recording.
That is it better funny. Be. Oh, my God.
Well, what did Siri say? I'm in the dark.
Siri started...
You need to stop saying that word.
Searching... Oh, yeah. Oh, she's back. He's back. Whatever it is. Started searching for stuff about going to the fridge, wholesale liquor.
Oh, really?
In an English voice. If it didn't play, that's going to be an awkward 3 seconds of nothing.
Maybe I'll make him do it again and put it in.
I don't know why you changed the gender of your Siri.
I like the British one. It makes
you have
me
a British woman.
I feel like I have a butler. See, I don't have a very good relationship with that AI. It's the Amazon one that I'm very close to. She talks to me every day and she plays my favorite music whenever I ask her to. She even turns off lights throughout our house and reminds me to give my dog his pills. She's very special to this family.
Yeah.
Right, Alexa? Yeah, never mind.
I'm sorry. I did not get that.
Yeah, no doubt.
That's what I was going to say.
Okay. I did hear that one.
There's that one.
They're always listening, folks. I am the ultimate libertarian with spy devices all over my house. It's crazy.
And TikTok on lock.
Yes. Yeah.
All right. First question, the second half from I Like Pickles Cat. Who is in charge of scheduling and how was it decided that Oregon State was an awesome choice for a home and home?
Well, Jill Shields is taking it over. She's, you may not know this. She's deputy AD. She's number two. She volunteered to take it off of Gene's plate, which Gene was told me he was happy because it's a pain in the butt. You're like casting lines, fishing all the time, and to find the right school with the right dates available is a real challenge. So, I mean, Oregon State was a natural one. They're looking for games. Washington State is already on the schedule. I'm all in on scheduling those two. I really am. I know some people are worried they're not Power 5, Power 4 anymore. I'm not into that. Not I think either. They will be by then. In whatever plan that is, I'm not even sure what it'll be. But they, as I said in my DD, they still have an open window. The weirdest one is Washington State is split over 4 years. It's just I can't remember who plays where, but they play in 26 and 29. And then 27 and 28 are open. It just seems like that's something they could have addressed and maybe moved them up because Washington State now has a bunch of available dates. And I'll be blunt here. I wouldn't be disappointed if they just booked them for 4 years. I mean, I know it's weird, but, and you'd prefer to get, more traction out there. But I mean, if you have to, do it.
Do you think that Jill Shields visits FBS schedules as much as we do. Trying to find all the dates. And I can call up Oregon State. I don't know. But I'm not mad about this at all. I think that if this was 5 years ago and K-State was making a home-and-home with UCF or Cincinnati or BYU, I don't think anybody's upset with that. And I would put Oregon State and Washington State above those schools today that they would have been 5 years ago. I mean, just because they lost their automatic qualifier status, I don't think that hurts them. I mean, it's not their fault they got left behind from everybody else who wanted to go to the Big Ten and the Big 12. But, they're still a legitimate program. They were good last year. They replaced Rutgers. It's great that that game series is gone. You know, I think you mentioned maybe they move that series up. I don't think they're going to do that. I don't think they're going to want to play Rutgers, but maybe they rearrange that series in the future. Who knows? But I think a lot of it depends on what are the conference makeups going to be in the future? Because we still have the SEC with 8 games a year. We have the Big 12 with 9, ACC with 9, Big 10, I think 9. Still a week later, we have not double checked this since we talked about it.
Yeah.
But with less conferences available, it'd be interesting to see if there's going to be some alliances that actually work out to where we're going to play a non-conference game against one of the other conferences.
Right.
Because I think you're going to see some of these power conferences align themselves with each other saying, hey, we're going to play some non-conference games to get us to 10 Power 4 games or 11 Power 4 games. I think it remains to be seen exactly what the schedule is going to look like as far as non-conference opponents go.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I'd hope they're going to find someone Big Ten or SEC. As someone pointed out, what could possibly go wrong with scheduling Oregon State in the future? Because what set this in process was Arizona and Colorado joined the conference. So what if Washington State and Oregon State end up joining the conference in the future, you know, in some rendition of the Big 12, then you're right back in that situation, which is less than ideal. But I hope they, you know, someone mentioned Notre Dame. You're not going to get Notre Dame on the schedule. You're just not. Kansas State doesn't bring enough to the table for them. Now, if you could work out Notre Dame like the ACC relationship, the ACC falls apart and Notre Dame wants to stay in independent, then maybe you pitch to them the same thing. You can park all your other sports here and arrange to play some teams in football. I don't see that happening, but that's possible.
I completely disagree with your Notre Dame take, because if you look at their future schedule, they're playing at UCF one year. They're going to play at Purdue, at Pitt. Granted, they have a lot of series like USC and Navy and things that are going to be preserved throughout their history of playing football, but you look at the rest of their schedule, it doesn't seem that they would be anti-K-State.
You don't
other than how good K-State might be, unless you're trying to duck them, but I don't know what you're going at.
Purdue, I don't understand. Purdue's just probably a regional in-state type thing. Pitt is an ACC thing, and UCF is a Florida recruiting-based thing. They recruit a lot in Florida, so they probably want to go down there. If there's another Avery Johnson coming up, maybe they'll try to play K-State.
I don't think it's necessarily deal breaker.
I'd love it. I would really will. I just don't see it's possible. I would love for K-State to play a Wisconsin, you know, someone like that. I don't know. It's so hard to do non-conference scheduling because you don't know what these teams are going to be like. You get downgraded for playing a bad team in your non-conference. Well, how are you supposed to know that when you scheduled them 6 years in advance, or in this case, 4 years in advance? I don't know.
In 2025, they go to Arkansas. So
it's an SEC program.
It's SEC, but at the same time, K-State is probably a better program, at least recently in the Big 12, than what Arkansas has been in the SEC.
Oh, I agree with that.
I don't think that it's necessarily a deal breaker for K-State being who they are and where they happen to reside in the country. So maybe you don't get them, and maybe that's a hard one to do, but it's one you at least think about.
Now, I think you try. And they have the one game with Army. I think that'd be a great series. No, it's not Power 5. But if that has some substance, particularly here with the relationship Manhattan and Kansas State has with Fort Riley, waking me up at night.
Love it.
Put your big guns away, guys. After 11 p.m., shut it down.
They've been doing it here while we're recording. I don't know if you guys hear that in your basement, Fitz, but I've heard it going off.
No, not on my headphones.
Whatever they've got, the new toy they got literally shakes our house. And we live close to the football stadium.
Somebody told me yesterday there's no new toys. They're 15-year-old toys.
I find it hard to believe. These things are louder than I've ever heard.
I agree.
In my
I should have pressed him a little harder. Next question is from Serial Griller NC. Whoa. That is a new
Serial Griller?
Serial Griller, like cereal, like killer, not like breakfast cereal.
That's the same thing.
Serial Killer with an S. Serial Griller NC, welcome to the podcast. The perception of K-State's NIL budget went from one of the lowest in the Big 12 to one of the better ones in the country. I assume this was due to a few big boosters stepping up. And if so, how sustainable is this going to be?
Yeah, I mean, it was. That's my question about the NIL, not just for K-State, but for everyone. How sustainable is it to have big boosters paying you millions of dollars every year just to get players? I don't think it's sustainable in any way. And I think that's what eventually will fold this into athletic departments. I mean, I think the collective will become part of the athletic department across the nation. And they'll bring it in-house. And that way they can decide in their budget how much NIL every program will have and run it that way. I mean, think about the oddity of this. To recruit players now, you have to deal with someone outside of your program and talk to them about your recruiting and your budget and, you know, how you want to divvy up this money and who needs what, you know, returning players, what are they worth, what's the market bear? That's all happening outside of your basketball staff or your athletic staff. And I don't think that's sustainable for a business to do that. So, yeah, I think it'll all change here in the near future. I think we're going to come to the point where we'll just agree to go pay players.
I mean, if that becomes the case and you bring the NIL in-house, you're not going to be giving out in. It's not going to be NIL anymore. It's going to be, here's this W-4 you need to fill out so we can withhold your taxes.
Right.
I mean, I don't know how this isn't already. I mean, calling it NIL is kind of disingenuous when you're giving, say, we're going to give you $1 million. For what? Well, we're going to tell you eventually. You have to do one little thing, and that gets you your $1 million. It's a technicality, so we're not actually paying you as an employee, but here's your money. It's just contrived. It's just so insane right now what NIL is. I mean, just rip the Band-Aid off. Make them employees. If this is what the future is going to be, make them employees. Let the players unionize. Let them have a players' union. Let them collectively bargain.
Yeah, that's the big thing the courts want.
And make it a fair playing field, so to speak. I mean, I just, if you're losing players due to, you know, X amount of dollars, make a salary cap.
Yeah.
Let's just go full professional sports.
Agreed.
And make it that way. If this is what the end outcome is, just rip the Band-Aid off, get it over with, and do it. Because, and I think you're going to see it's going to hurt the players probably a little bit. The ones on the lower end are going to benefit because they're probably not making a lot of money right now. But if you average it out to $50,000 a year for everybody, you know, at least it gives everybody a starting playing field, and then they can have their own NIL on top of that if that's what they want. It make NIL what it was meant to be.
Exactly.
The additional money problem. And selling, like Caitlin Clark, you know, those top however many draft picks from the WNBA this last week, those are marketable personalities. They have real NIL value.
She sure does.
They're making millions of dollars a year because of who they are, not because they play for Iowa or Stanford or UConn. They've earned that NIL. Avery Johnson has earned his NIL, does car commercials, does whatever else. I'm sure there's some stuff locally that is going into the collective that is probably going to Avery Johnson that may not go to Avery Johnson if they made players employees. But, you know, the NIL right now, as it is, it's not really a level playing field. You're playing the players you want to play. You're paying the players you want to pay.
Right.
Whew. You're paying the players you want to pay. And the ones that just want to play college football and go get an education that, you know, are going to go get a job in something other than sports, you know, they're happy to be here. But eventually, the guys at the top are probably going to take somewhat of a pay cut from the quote-unquote NIL as it stands today, and that money is going to go to the rest of the roster. And you're going to have to manage a salary cap, and you know, you'll probably have 85 guys. I don't know how this affects walk-ons. I mean, there's so many things that you can open with this can of worms as far as what college sports has been, its purpose for a person's life, giving someone an education for free, giving them that life experience of being in college. I mean, it's just, it's sad what it's become, but at the same time, it's evolved. Right. It is something else, and you have to accept that it's something else right now. And I think that we've reached the point where just give them the W-4s and make them employees.
I agree. I mean, I've come so far on this. I was a big fan of the NIL. The ability to profit from your identity seemed very core and basic to what this nation's about. And the NCAA was preventing that. But now this is just straight up payments and buying players. It's above the table what was once cheating. And it's uncomfortable, and it's grown, and it's only going to continue to grow. It's only going to get, I mean, as you mentioned, K-State caught up in the NIL space a little bit. Well, those other schools that have huge donors are going to realize that, and the gap will open back up, and it'll be up to little old K-State to try to close that gap. It's going to be a mess for a long time. But I'll say this. Right now, K-State's basketball NIL is in the approximate space, and you understand that players aren't paid equally. They're paid on value or worth, or you know, what they bring to the table for the program. But on average, K-State basketball players are making $200,000 to $250,000 a year.
We'll get into some numbers here. It's
crazy.
Move on.
Yeah.
Okay. Yells, do you have any input before we?
I'm in. I think you said it best, Zach.
Okay.
Yeah.
Next question is from ContraCat. Do you believe K-State has a top 15 NIL? What is that in dollars, and what is that level in April of 2025?
See, there's different budgets. I mean, football and basketball have different NIL budgets. There isn't like one athletic department budget. Again, this isn't up to the athletic department. I don't know what football is. I know approximately what basketball is, and I do think that might be top 20, top 25. I don't cover other schools, folks, and people don't release their NIL numbers because they don't want it out. They don't want a player knowing how much their NIL budget is because then they'll want more of it. Everyone's protecting their NIL total. Football, I would say nowhere close. I mean, just the reality of how much money it takes to fill a football roster as opposed to basketball or volleyball or soccer. Thank you, dude. Dude's in the podcast now. I think they want to go out. They've been bugging me. Mm. Or the sprinkler guy's here and they want to go bark at them. Neither way it's going to work. But yeah, we don't know where they rank overall, but I do want to give a shout out to Curry Sexton and all of his folks at Wildcat NIL. They have really stepped it up. They're getting very creative in how they'd go about this. And I like their grassroots efforts, and it may not bring them a great chunk of money, but it'll bring them some steady foundational money that they know is coming in every month.
Yeah. They had a nice video. It was like 20 minutes long. If you didn't watch it or listen to it, it's on every platform out there. It was Hennington and Pearson and Curry, like, but they're doing this because they love K-State, right? Like they're not in this. I'm obviously the money's great that they're getting, but like they're not in it for the money, right? They love K-State. I know Hennington talked about like he thought that Chris Kleiman's program was awesome. Everything about it was great. He loved his time at K-State. But NIL, you know, walk-ons like Pierce, you know, so getting – I mean, they're just in it for the love of Kansas State, and that's why I think this has been so successful over the last, you know, month or two.
Yep, three really wonderful homegrown dudes, man. They're – above the board. One thing I don't worry about with Wildcat NIL based on those three guys, they're not doing anything shady. It's
right.
100% how it's supposed to be done. I bet not many schools can say they have an attorney running their NIL, and that's what Curry is.
Yeah.
He did some work in the sports space and now has decided to do this full time, and I think it's wonderful.
Yeah, I think... I don't know if K-State has a $10 million NIL budget. I would doubt that they have $10 million at their disposal, at least right now.
Not in football, no.
Maybe in 2025, they get to that level.
I just don't know where the money's going to come from.
But also, if I had to guess, I would say every SEC program outside of Vanderbilt has more than $10 million available at their disposal for football alone.
Yeah.
So I think that probably paints a picture of what the gap is.
That's just basically reality.
I mean, basically go down the list of Power Four schools right now. Are they considered bigger and better than K-State? Yes. Then they probably have a bigger NIL budget than you do. It's just the fact of life. Oregon, USC, UCLA, Washington, all four of them, bigger NIL budget. You look at Michigan, Ohio State, you know, we can name all these.
He wants to go outside. I'm going to get out. So,
you know, you go all across college sports and look at the programs and donor bases, and K-State lacks, unfortunately. I mean, it's the reality. It's probably a little bit of the same thing of, you know, during realignment where it felt like K-State was going to be left out. This is kind of the same thing. You don't have the resources. You don't have the donor base necessarily, the money. I would be curious to know how many schools have donors that kind of treat their school like a, you know, a pet project of, I'm just going to dump money into this because I love it. Doesn't matter what it is. How many of those types of schools are being floated by one or two donors?
Yep. Miami.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Places like Miami, you know, that shouldn't have anywhere near as much NIL for the size of institution that they are, but they get it. So it's, K-State's always going to be kind of at that disadvantage until the donor base grows a little bit.
What do we have? One more question?
We got one more question.
Okay. I'm just going to look into the camera and say this. K-Staters, we need you to invent something of huge profit, like time travel. That's all. A little time travel. License out the, so I look, just someone become Bill Gates or Elon Musk. That's all I want. Can you guys get busy? I'm doing what I can. This is not, as it turns out, as profitable as I thought it would be 26 years ago, but I'm doing what I can. Of course, we can't give to NIL and stuff, but
just start telling everybody to buy lottery tickets and somebody will hit it big, right?
I know.
You'll be good to go.
Yeah,
I don't know how long it's been since Kansas, in as a state, has had a lottery winner. It seems like it's never like
12
Kansas.
Years or something. It's been a while.
Okay. Let's get to the last question dude's going to poop in the studio, and none of us want that.
Last question of the podcast from O2 Cat: should the Big 12 Conference create an NIL collective for equal distribution across the conference?
No, it's not fair. If you've got the donors and the resources, you should benefit from it.
Yeah, you don't want to turn into the NFL.
And even if that works against Kansas State, I get that. Now, if it comes in-house, I think it would behoove the NCAA or whatever the institution is to offer some kind of guardrails. He's gone. He's not happy. That, you know, doesn't allow like Ohio State to have a $50 million football NIL. You know, I mean, be nice. But again, money doesn't solve all your problems. It can create a lot of problems. It can give you issues because you have locker room strife and this player, you know, has already got his money. Why does he need to do all this work? You got to play me or this booster will be pissed off. It can cause a lot of problems too. And I think we've seen that in college athletics a little bit.
I think K-State might benefit from having a conference-wide NIL.
If
there's no separate collectives, if the NIL is just going to be handled by the conference itself, I think K-State benefits.
Right.
But I think that less people give to NIL if you know it's not necessarily going to your institution. I'm not going to give $14 a year or a month or whatever if I know that only one of those dollars is going to the school that I support. So I don't think it works in that sense, unless this question comes with a different idea. I don't know why the Big 12 would need their own collective if other schools are going to have their collective too.
I think the next evolution for college sports as a whole, conferences share their conference revenue, TV, you know, bowl tournament, all that revenue is shared across the board. And that's how conferences are built. Now, of course, Texas didn't like that. They wanted to have some of their media rights, and that caused some problems. But I think what we're seeing in the ACC might be an indication of, at some point, conferences are going to have to say, okay, schools, this is your base of what you're going to get. And everything else is going to go into a fund that's driven by TV ratings and on-field success or on-court success. And it won't be equal distribution. And that will be driven by the Ohio States and Michigans and, you know, those schools, USC, that's like, why are we paying Purdue the same amount of money? And they're not, well, they just won a national championship in basketball. That's a horrible example. But, you know, Minnesota or someone, Northwestern, Indiana, which apparently has plenty of money in their basketball collective. But someone's going to push back and say, we're done sharing. I mean, the greed is out of control and it's going to look for new targets. And that'll be the next target, unequal revenue sharing within conferences. Gills, any thoughts?
No, I agree with what you said. I just hope you guys can not have to have dude do some damage in the studio. So I'm praying for y'all.
Yep. I think we're going to wrap it up because Zach's going to pet dude to distract him while we put a wrap on the show. We appreciate you watching or listening to the PowerCat podcast. Why did that just
Where'd the music go?
No,
I don't know.
You tried.
I don't know. Oh, you know what? Because I stopped it before. I just played the last part of the bed. I suck at this. Thanks for watching. We'll be back next week with another edition of the PowerCat podcast. Hopefully soon we'll have another recruiting podcast from Ryan Wallace and Cole Carmody covering football recruiting behind the paywall for our subscribers only. Make sure you consider subscribing to Go PowerCat, 60% off right now across the 24/7 Sports Network. Thanks for watching.
This has been a GoPowerCat.com and Spirit Street production. Please support this show by subscribing to this YouTube channel or follow us on your favorite podcast platform.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
I'm Tori Deal.
And I'm Anissa Ferreira.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
And we're going to be right here along with you fans, covering every episode on the podcast.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast wherever you get your podcasts.